All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, if we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our goal is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
What it do, boo?
How's it going?
It's going. What's up? What's the tea?
Oh, how
was your weekend?
My weekend was cool, you know? Not one of my most exciting weekends, but it happened. They're all not exciting. So did a little bit of leadership development training, you know.
You say that so casually, like people know it. Leadership development training.
For my sorority, for my chapter.
Working.
To put it in context.
Yeah. Active SOAR.
I really had to mentally prepare to return back to work this week. I know for a lot of us, this is our first full week back after the holidays. And I had to mentally prepare.
Yeah, you were off for 2 weeks, right?
A week and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Which felt like forever. So, yeah, dust off my tap dancing shoes, polish those puppies up, put them by the door.
Yeah.
So I can head out today.
So you can just slip them right on.
You know, it's a
tap
process.
Dancing. This is the last year for the white man gig.
Last.
The last one, claiming it.
Claimed and received. Yes. How was your weekend?
It was chill. I didn't do much at all. Literally nothing. But I think I needed it. I needed like a weekend where I didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. I went to the bank. I got my money out for the week.
Cash.
We are cash moolah.
Envelope system tapped envelope. Into the secure the bag episode.
Yeah. So I had to just do some shit for me.
Okay. Walking girl, it. You made it deep. You do for you then.
Walking in truth.
Do for
walk
you.
Walk in truth, walk in power.
Okay.
I was like, you know, I need to stay home. I need to do some shit. I kind of felt bad for missing the leadership training, but I'm like, better days are ahead. I don't know what else to say. Like, I had.
You are hilarious.
I was just like, okay, girl, you got things to do.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a weekend. That's it. Period.
Yeah, it was a weekend. You know, we're just easing into 2019.
Ease on by.
That's what we did.
Ease on down. Ease on down.
The road.
Okay.
So let's ease into this week. Okay. New week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
Okay. So, we're not going to really dive into too much tea today, but we do want to make mention of Centoya Brown. She was just granted clemency from a life sentence in prison for killing a man who bought her for sex when she was 16 years old. So she'll be released on parole supervision on August 7th, originally. They were saying she was never going to be granted parole. Petitions were signed. Voices were heard.
Come on.
She is going to be free.
Chains were broken. Shackles off my feet so I can dance.
So she can dance.
I just want to praise
her. So hopefully our girl will be able to dance to the beat of her own drum.
Yes. I'm so happy for her.
Once she is free.
What a fucked up situation to be put in. Like, firstly, you're fucking a victim of human sex trafficking.
Yes.
And you stand up.
It's like every day is a fight.
God damn.
We already feel like we be fighting. Imagine people who are taken into this human sex trafficking, right? It's just sick and sad. I can only imagine how she was feeling in those circumstances. So, you know
the justice system just fucks us from the front and the back.
Front, back, side, side.
Seriously. So we're just thankful that she's going to be
she
on her way.
She has another chance.
Yes.
To live the life that she wants to live.
And that she deserves. Because that first part, to hell.
Yeah, she's been in jail for 15 years. She deserves.
She does.
So we're praying for her. We're sending her lots of love and light.
Yes.
And we're thankful that her new year is starting off on a good foot.
Hell yeah. Could you imagine that information?
Girl.
Boy, I would have ran back to the jail.
I
would have
been like, so what day? Let me know. Where do I sign? Let me set up my people.
Yeah, let me expedite the paperwork for y'all.
Right.
Okay, so we can transition here.
We want
ratings and reviews.
That's what we want.
So,
that's what we want. Y'all, if you're new here, get used to this.
Yeah.
If you're old here, we hope that you submitted your payment in the form of a rating and a review.
Mm-hmm. That's all we expect. We just expect you to rate, review, subscribe, support the things you love. That's a simple payment here. Luckily, this podcast is free. And all you have to do is say, hey, I love y'all.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to say that, keep your review. If you don't want to say that, keep it.
Yeah.
No, JK. But yeah, just make sure that you rate, review, subscribe, tell a homegirl to tell a homegirl. This is just a part of us collaborating together. This is how we work with you all to continue to bring great quality content. And you just pay us back by saying, yes, it's value added and we appreciate what you do. Period.
It's an energy exchange.
Exchange of energy. It's our ecosystem. So we're grateful if you've already rated and reviewed. And we're not too mad if you haven't already because there's time.
There's still time. Time is still on your side.
Yes, it's of the essence.
You can do it right now.
Do it.
Pause and do it. Also, emphasis on sharing.
Yeah.
Sharing this on your social media platforms, sharing it in your group chats, sharing it when you're walking down the street, sharing it when you're at the coffee shop. Share it. We want you to share it.
Share
okay?
it.
Emphasis on sharing. This is a year of sharing. When you think about 2019, think share. And then right after that, think the Black Girl Bravado. That's all we want.
Hand in hand.
So we're going to share today our review of the week. This review comes from Safi M. She says, love, love, love. First time writing a review for a podcast. This was one of the first podcasts I have ever listened to, and this podcast inspired me to want to listen to more. This podcast never fails to put a smile on my face. Keep it going. You guys have great energy and are so authentic. Thank you for all your hard
love.
Work and amazing content.
I'm like, I don't know.
Thank love from London, UK. Okay.
Just touched down in London town.
We love you.
Dead. The accent.
We love you. Literally.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Those kind words.
Thank you, Safi. Yes, and thank you for everyone else who has taken the time to leave a rating and review, and for those who will do it today.
Mm-hmm. So just another gentle reminder. This part of the episode is always filled with gentle reminders, little pushes, subtle pushes.
Yes.
Just so you're aware, you can always keep up with all things Black Girl Bravado, Brittany and I, at theblackgirlbravado.com. That's your centralized location for everything that we do. So when events will be coming up for our mailing list and subscribing, you can do it there. You can also listen to episodes at theblackgirlbravado.com. So
yes, you can.
Make sure you're subscribed and on our mailing list there because there's tons of information that we're going to be sending out in the upcoming weeks and months.
Yeah, lots coming down the pipeline. So be the first pipeline.
I'm
so,
like the pipeline now.
Popping. That's pop, what I was
lock
thinking.
And drop it.
Popping. It's going to be popping, but it's coming down a pipeline. So make sure you're tapped in. Don't tap out.
There you go. Okay, so last week's episode was episode 78. We talked about the Be Do Have motto, and the episode was titled Be Do Have, Change Your Mindset, Change Your Life. So most people believe that if they have a thing, more time, more money, etc., then they can finally do something important, go on a vacation, start a hobby, pursue a passion, etc., which ultimately allows them to be what they truly want in life. So happy, peaceful, content, or successful. So we essentially went through that whole episode and discussed how when you change your mindset and a simple shift in your mindset can help you change your life. And we've been implementing this be do have shit.
We have. We've been serious about it.
I'm like, not there yet, but I'm being it today.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
And eventually, and we've already been doing, we do the work. And so both of those things we'll be blessed with having.
There it is.
Simple. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to do this. A lot of the girlfriends received that episode really well. We got a really good response from that episode. So we're happy that that information, that content resonated with you all. That's our goal every time we come on here and run our mouths. We hope that it resonates and also provides value to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
From one girl to another.
Yes. From our kitty to yours. Purse. Some, you know, kitty can be interchangeable. We're talking about a little purse, an arsenal of tools and resources. When we say kitty, it's an arsenal of tools and resources, and that's it.
From one toolbox to the next.
That's it. We'll say toolbox. So this week, there we go, because we don't have sound effects yet. We decided to invite a special homegirl on to the podcast to give you what you need.
Yeah.
Give you what you want. Give you what you deserve. Simple. Period. So we have Sheila Marie with us today. She is going to be dropping on us a plethora of gems.
Dog.
Plethora. We talked about all things ranging from meditation, self-care.
Dealing with a partner who might have kids already and how you can navigate that space. Original plans and kind of deviating off that and just the alignment of life and self-work and self-mastery and
self-love.
A ton of things. And Sheila was just so gracious enough to share her time and energy with us and just allow us to peel back a few layers so that you all can be inspired and just be opened up to the space and the work that she does for women of color.
Yes. So Sheila's vision and mission aligns perfectly with ours. We're all about helping women of color, helping liberate women of color. So
if you white, it's cool, but
yeah. Take what applies. Yeah. Take what applies. It's all here for you. And we're going to jump right in. So buckle up, take out your pens and an extra sheet of paper because you're going to need to take notes.
Yeah.
And then you're going to come back and let us know how you liked it.
Yeah. Okay? Sheila gets going immediately. So grab your panties. It's time.
All righty.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Sheila Marie. I am so many things. I'm an energy shifter. I'm a meditation enthusiast. I'm also a trained actress. And I love women of color. And I have a very diverse background, but I came upon making this company called Curvy Curly Conscious. And through the work that I do individually and with my company, I've touched over a quarter of a million women of color and introduced them to meditation and other techniques that can help them live happier and healthier from the inside out. And without taking ourselves too seriously, I think that's really what we do is we provide fun, interesting ways for women to heal through a variety of in-person and online offerings. So that's really what I do. Yeah.
Yay. Love that.
So, Sheila, of all the things that we see on your through your online presence, we immediately recognize two things about you. Firstly, like your transparency. Secondly, that you have this love for women, especially women of color. So if people are familiar with Sheila Marie and the brand and what Curvy Curly Conscious is, if they aren't, let them know how this whole like Curvy Curly Conscious movement came to be, and like, why was it so important for you to create this space?
Well, I did not know what I was creating as I was creating it. I still sometimes think I don't know what I'm creating as I'm creating it. I just decided to use the name Curvy Curly Conscious from a friend, Aisha. She used curves, curls, and consciousness in her bio when she was doing an event with me. I was like, oh, lit. Can we use that for like the event? And she was like, sure. And then it just grew from there. It was one event and then it was a tour and now it's an online community. So to me, I just kept seeing the need. Like I would do something and then women would show up and I'm like, oh shit. Oh, people want to spend money with us? Like, oh, okay. What? They want to travel with us? I'm like, oh, wow. people will buy things I do. Like, it was just for me. I'm an actress. Like, that's my background. So I'm not a business. I did, you know, I developed some sense of business knowledge, like, along the way. I read, I make myself educated, I surround myself by bosses. But, like, for me, I didn't know what I was doing as I was doing it. I just kept saying, well, let's do it bigger next time. Let's do it bigger. And that's exactly what I'm doing now. Same thing.
Love it. That's so dope.
It is.
Isn't that always crazy? Thank when you're you. Like, damn, these motherfuckers really feeling me.
Yes.
That's always.
Yes.
It's always a
shock. I know.
Okay. We're going to keep this moving.
I'm like, why the fuck do people want to come see me? Like, what? And I'm like, all right, you know, like, let's go with it.
I love that.
Yeah. It instills a different level of confidence in yourself, but also at the same time, a sense of humbleness and gratefulness that people find such value in what you're providing and putting out into a space, something as broad as the internet, which can be a scary space. But when people receive you in the way that we receive you, and we're sure a lot of our listeners receive you too, it's just a really great feeling. But you spoke about you being an actress, so
I want to comment on what you said before we move on. I want to say thank you, and then also say that I was very clear from the beginning, and I'm still very clear that I never wanted to be a guru, and I never wanted to be an expert. I don't want to be a fucking life coach. I don't want to be wrapped up into this thing where, like, Tony Robbins-ish, and first of all, Tony Robbins is amazing, right. But that's not me. I don't want to be, like, I don't want to create a community that looks to me to tell them what to do. Like, you have something that I don't. Lead the way. No, because that's how the fuck we got to where we are now, is people not tapping into themselves and not asking themselves what feels right and wrong. Like, what I want to do is introduce the community into, like, here are tools for you to get to know what the fuck you think. You know, what are your strengths? Like, that's where I have always stood, and that's where I stand now. So, I just wanted to make sure. I really reject, like, people want to, I'm not an expert. I don't want to be, like, to me, that just feels like if I say I'm an expert, I mean, I got to at some point accept something title like that. But for me, an expert is like, well, I figured it all out. And yeah, here, I'm here to tell you how to do it. And I'm like, nah, that's not where I am right now in my journey. I'm still figuring it out like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you're still a student, and you're just carrying everybody along on your journey. You're just allowing us to be privy to everything that's transpiring. And it's crazy that you even say that, because Brittany and I, all the time, we have to tell our homegirl listeners, like, hey, this is just our opinion. We don't really know shit. Yes. But please, don't you know, like, thinking we have the end all be all, like, say all. Like, it's not it.
We're
speaking candidly, and we want to share tools, and hopefully people receive us and receive everything that we share and apply it as they will. You know, what take a little bit and make whatever your own recipe, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
We're more like guides, because we're all in this together. We're figuring out together, and it's basically saying, hey, I'm here with you, or maybe I went through that before, or I'm going through it now. Let's grow through it together. Let's get to a common denominator together. Community, that's what it's all about.
I love it. I'm sorry, that headphone just died. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're good.
Okay, perfect.
So you said that you were an actress.
Come on, thespian.
You said that you were an actress. So was your original path or your original destination or goal to be, like, a super big major actress?
Yes, that was the plan. I thought, what did I think I would be doing? See, now, if I would have committed, and if I thought acting really brought me, like, that much joy and fulfillment from the inside out, I would have done a similar path to, like, an Issa Rae. I always knew I was a writer. I always wrote. I always created and performed my own material. I toured doing that. Like, so, and I always was very satirical, and everything I made always was a commentary on being Black and being woman right now. So if I would have, I felt like, made anything with my career, like, in a dream scenario, if everything turned out good, like Issa Rae, like, what she's done is beyond phenomenal. Yeah. Beyond. So for me, I was, living in New York and doing that whole acting thing. It just, it really did not bring me happiness. Like, I love, what I realized is that almost I love consuming more than I liked creating. Like, when people ask me what you do for fun and I answer Netflix, people sometimes like, oh, really? Like, oh, well, Netflix, you don't know. I don't enjoy film and TV the way I think normal people do. Like, it's an art for me. I'm watching it. I know the director's names. I know, oh my God, I used to act with so-and-so. I'm thinking about what they're saying behind the scenes and looking at how it's like. So to me, it's like a whole level of satisfaction. Like anything, opera, dance, ballet, theater, I live, breathe art. Like when I was in New York City, I was so broke. I didn't spend money on nothing. I never went out. I didn't buy clothes. I hate fucking shopping. All I did was see art. That is the only thing I spent money on. And so even now, like Ace and I, we bond over shows, like, and shit. And it's weird because he's also open-minded with it. And I love it. He's like, yeah, sure, let's watch that. And now after, it's like a ritual. You watch something, he's like, all right, I know what it means. So this is like a metaphor for this and blah, blah, blah. And like, I love that. I could do that forever. So for me, maybe I conflated the joy that I got from that with the joy that I got from making it. Because the tenacity, the drive, the resilience that you have to get to a level like an Issa Rae, I did not have it. It did not bring me joy. I was just getting torn down. Just going to audition after audition and being told no so much. Like it wasn't the right fit for me at some point. And always being broke and seeing your friends on this and that. And I'm like, wow, I feel so much more fulfillment from this. Again, if there's anything I do in my free time is this. Mm-hmm. Like if I was doing, I would be doing this, talking shit, sharing my opinions. I would be reading and meditating. Like that's all I did. That is it. I was art. When I was living in New York, I would consume art. I would work to support myself. And then I would read self-help books and do yoga in my room and learn about meditation. And these are the things that I like. These are the things I'll be doing until I die. So to me, it's just, I realized that like, instead of being tied to that identity, like, well, if you decide that you don't want to identify in a career sense as an actress anymore, you fail. You know, like if I like let that drive me, I would still be there and being unhappy. And it wasn't until I decided I was not going to pursue acting in New York that I moved to Miami and started Curvy Curly Conscious.
You know, it was so funny when we're talking about this whole original path thing, a central theme for us more recently than not has been like the destination. It's not always about the journey. I mean, well, it's about the journey and not so much about the destination. And when you mentioned like, yeah, I thought I was going to be an actress would have been like the end all, right? But along the way, you figured out like, hey, this isn't what serves me anymore. And I don't like it. And I don't like the way I feel. And there's other aspects to the acting part, like the consuming and the behind the scenes that you can still appreciate, which is a part of your journey. But ultimately, your now plan is better than your original plan and is more aligned with everything else that you really have going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so dope. So in a nutshell, you to the death with this shit. You to the grave with it.
Facts. Big facts.
Yes, I love that. So that brings me to the thought of manifestation. So that's another, I guess,
theme
or common word or phrase that we see thrown around a lot. But I mean, it's the reality for some people. So when you thought about, okay, you know what, this acting thing, is it really bringing me joy? I kind of want more for my life or something different for my life. Did you tap into a space of manifesting? Like, what are your thoughts on manifesting? Did you say, I want this for my life, now what do I do? Or was it something where you just started doing the work and things just started happening?
Yeah, manifesting, it's such a buzzword now. And sometimes I even like, I'm like, man, it's, but you know what? Some things can become buzzwords because they're true. And so for manifesting, for me, I didn't know what I wanted. I knew I wanted something different. And I think it's a process of, it's less of a process to me of like creating a dream board and visualizing what you want. Absolutely, that's a part of the process. I talk about that all the time. But what really, to me, magnetized a life that I love and, like, the life I have now and the life I'm creating and moving forward to is clearing and allowing. It's like, you know, the difference between feminine energy and masculine energy, and not gender or sex, but just the energetic terms of feminine and masculine energy. And like, a lot of times, because we live in a society that, you know, it's the patriarchy, they prioritize masculine energy, which is like a penis, you know, it's going forward. It's moving, okay, A, B, C, D, linear, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then there's feminine energy, which is receiving and mm-hmm. allowing, and it's creative. And so, like, the way feminine energy can birth children, can create life. So for me, I think the more important thing than that, like, I had a plan, I knew what I was doing, was moving things out of the way that would prevent things from finding me. It's almost like just clearing out a closet and making space, and then just sitting there and allowing, which is really foreign to a lot of us. Our society really praises type A people, praises people that have a plan, and then what are you going to do? And then what are you going to do? So, like, that whole idea of allowing and clearing is kind of under prioritized, but it actually is just such a crucial step. And that's what I was focusing on. I was focusing on clearing. I remember I was in an abusive situation, and it was just a situation, and he reminded me, I felt a flashback to my mom, and I was like, wow, here I am. Excuse me, all these years later, and I'm in the same exact dynamic and feeling that I had with my mom when I was 5. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I got it. Loud and clear, universe. Whatever this is, I'm going to clear it out. Mm-hmm. Whatever this is will not be present in my life anymore. And it has not been present in my life anymore. So to me, that was what it was more. It was more like, what here doesn't fit? What here do I not want? And how can I clear it to make space for what I do want?
I like that. Gonna be implementing the clearing and allowing.
Yeah,
it's feeling it.
It's a collaborative effort between saying I want different, but then also allowing space for the different to come to be. Because you can say you want different all day, but if you don't make room for it, where is it gonna be? Where is it gonna come? You still have a whole bunch of junk that you need to clear out to where
exactly.
You
exactly
different if it slaps you in your damn face.
You know, we're good for that. Exactly. We'll be praying, Lord, bring me a different type of nigga. But be hold on to me, so we got.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
girl,
I can't allow space to give you a new something if you want to hold on to this nigga so
man,
tightly.
You
hello.
I just say
hello.
I'm just saying, don't
tell me. The truth, shame the devil, because all I hear is truth.
You have to release those strongholds, take that broom, sweep some shit, clear it out, and then sit mm-hmm. there and say, oh, okay, now I have room for you. Come on in. Come on in.
Bad.
I love it.
So we're going to transition a little bit because you brought something up that we wanted to chat about, and that's the feeling of just that kind of feeling of you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the dynamic with your relationship and how you felt in that abusive relationship with your
partner
and how it kind of mimicked a relationship that you had in your life with your mother. So, just kind of piggybacking on that, we get a lot of questions about familial relationships, toxic relationships, boundaries, how these relationships kind of intersect and play on one another. So we've seen you speak very openly and candidly about the dynamic and the relationship you share with your parents, specifically your mother. So for our girls who are new here and might not be familiar with your platform, would you mind sharing what that relationship is and kind of how you've grown to a space to, you know, have
not let it affect you in a negative way?
Okay, so I've done a lot of work around my dynamic with my mother. My mother was a single mother. My mother is not black. My mom is white and Cuban. And then my father is African-American. So I didn't grow up with my dad at all. I didn't really get to know my dad until high school, but I really do have a close relationship with my dad now. So it was really my mom. And I have reframed a lot of it. So the way that I might have talked about my mom 2 years ago is different from the way that I would talk about my mom now. My mom was and is overworked. She's an RN. She was busy all of the time, like just working to provide for us. She had 3 kids, and she just was really hard working, and my mom, the way she expressed her love was through trying to provide things for us. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of affection in my household. There wasn't a lot of cuddle, none of that thing stuff. And I was the only person of color in my household because my mom remarried and he was not black either, and then had more children who were not black either. Okay, and so I was, yeah, I was fucking confused because I was like, my hair is different. We go in the pool. Why my hair do this? And, man, you know, look at my body, and how come no one has any skin color like me, and no one was talking about it? My mom was not willing to discuss race. It was, so it was like I was just there, and no one said anything about it. Only kids, when I went outside to play, would make fun of me. But in my household, it was just like, you don't even talk about it. And my mom was never given love, okay? She was never given love. My mom was not taught how to love. And so she could be considered to be emotionally abusive. And, you know, I remember the first time I heard my neighbor, may God rest her soul, she became my godmom. She was, like, the first person to, like, say, like, wow, you're great. Like, I don't know, not I don't even know if the words was I love you she was using, but it was like, you can be anything you want to be. Like, mm-hmm. Wow, you did such a good job. Mm-hmm. And, like, giving me hugs. And then, it, like, looking back on it, I didn't know why I loved it so much, but it was like, I knew something now that, like, it was the first time someone had defended me or someone said good things about me. So when I grew up in that environment, and I'm not at all blaming my mom, like, my mom cannot give what she doesn't have. And right. So I grew up with, like, critically low self-esteem for years. Like, even now, like, I struggle with a charging, you know what I mean? Like, wow, like, people give me money for me? For what? Like, how we started this conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, like, some of the humbleness that people might interpret for me is literally me still trying to get to a level of self-esteem. Not trying, because I'm there. I'm getting there. But
you are.
Still, I feel. But I feel that most people on this planet have critically low self-esteem, and we all think it's normal. So for me, I'm trying to get to above that. And I'm not talking about ego, like, oh, look at me, I'm shit. Yeah, look at, I can do this. And not that, but like a deep sense of love for oneself. And that is really the journey that I'm on. Because what I realize is, as I look back in my childhood, and I saw all the trauma that we experienced, you know, our stepfathers were abusive, alcoholic, you know, people was in and out. My sisters have never recovered. And so, like, I just knew from a very young age, like, okay, I'm going to create something different from that. I don't want that. I don't even know how young I was. And I knew, like, I'm going to be a mom and I'm not going to have that. So for me, it's like healing and, like, almost feeling for my mom. I think more than anything, I feel sorry for my mom. Yeah. And the final thing I'll say, it's so ironic, is today I checked my business mailbox. I don't know why my mom sent it there. Maybe, whatever. I saw a Christmas card she sent me. Is that for Christmas? Exactly. That's what you think. Aww.
Oh,
and
sorry.
I opened the card.
Wrong emotion.
No, good. That's what I did too. And I opened the card, and there's a handwritten note in there, like on a paper, a whole paper. And I'm like, my mom wrote me a handwritten letter.
Yes.
My mom said, for Christmas, all I want for you is to write me a letter. Wow. The letter was, I'm not going to read it for my mom's privacy, but it was just
mean.
I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm working like a dog. My knees, my this, my that, your sister, that. Negativity and just toxic, like negative, the whole thing, until the last line was, I hope you're well. No happy holidays, no, like, nothing. And it just reminded me of what I used. I'm so far removed in a sense. I'm so good at creating boundaries now and surrounding myself with people who speak life, that it was like, whoa, I read it and I was like, my God, I am so glad for all the work that I put in, and I am just feeling for my mom, and I hope that she chooses better for herself at some point. But yes, I'm glad that I'm creating something new, which is what I've always wanted.
Ooh, child, that took me on a journey. I'm on a wild ride just listening to that story.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just like, even if I started thinking about all the memories, was such a fucking, a toxic ass, it was just crazy. Like, I feel like, but the good thing is, though, like, it, you know, I'm just taking the parts of it that I feel I have benefited from. And like, yeah. My mom was gone so much that I raised myself and I raised my sister in a lot of ways. I was in the streets. I was just on my own so much. I made so many decisions from such a young age. What are we going to eat? How are we going to eat? What are we going to? And so like, I'm really good at making decisions now. I'm really good at it because I have had so much practice. And then I also, that's where I learned a little bit of my performance from. Like when I was little and I saw how people, it was like, okay, so if you got this kind of skin, you have to talk like that. Okay, people who have this color skin eat that. But people who have that color skin eat that. Okay, so if you wear these kind of shoes, that's okay for people that have that skin. But it was so clear to me as a child that the performance of race and the performance of gender, that's when I fell in love with acting. It's another thing that I learned. And then I also learned boldness. Like my mom was fucking bold. My mom would go to Publix, and my mom is not black. Let me remind you, and she don't give a fuck. My mom would come into that Publix and be like, who the hell do you think you are? You don't get in front of me. No, you're not. And no, you're not. You better mind your damn business. Like, she did not care. My mom, I went to court when I was 17. I went to court like 4 times before I went to college and won every time. Like, I sued my employer. Like, my mom taught me because she did not care, man. She'll call FBL, cuss everybody out. She will cuss you all out. She will write you a letter. My mama don't care. She'll show up. So it's like I learned all of that for her. My mom did not understand social norms. And it's partly because my mother suffers from mental illness, but she, like, there was nothing normal about my life. I never had a normal Christmas. Nothing was ever, I wanted us to sit down like the fucking TV with the dishes and all that.
Yes.
Never. So I learned to step outside the box. You know what I'm saying? And I'm happy for that. I really am.
You know what? So oftentimes I'm laughing with you because like you have just the energy that I hear that I can tell you've done your work and you've grown past like not so much as the hurt or the pain, but you can also highlight the good things that came from like such
exactly.
An experience, you know, and we see people who oftentimes they're in these toxic situations with their familial relationships, rather it's like their parents or they raggedy ass cousins or whoever it is.
Hello.
You know what I mean? They get jaded. And I know like even my mom has that dynamic because my grandma did the best that she could with what she could. And my mom did things and went through some things. And I have to also remind her like, yo, you got to find a way to forgive some of that shit going on because it's not going to help nobody but yourself. I mean, you know, like once you grow past it, you need to find some sort of light at the end of the tunnel, my nigga. Like, God.
That shit will own you.
Girl. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
And the empathy that you show your mother is admirable.
Because seriously.
Some people never make it to that space. So proud of you.
You know what? Because if you try to get to it from the logical brain, from like your rational part of you, like it's that's not how you get there. You get there through the heart. And I know it sounds cliche, but like literally like a lot of this work was done by healers on me, energy healers, or like in deep meditations and hypnosis, like all type of stuff, because you need to really sometimes it's deep. Some of it needs to, you need to override, like, you know, and I've done so many meditations, like one where I went back, like as my mom, as a child. And like, and when you start to just think of it like that, like I love my mom. Like to me, forgiving my mom is the same skill as forgiving myself. What I do for her, I do for me. And I want to forgive myself, don't we? Yes. Well, have I done everything right? Like, did I make all the right decisions? Could I have done better? Yeah. So that same skill is transferable. And like, so we all benefit.
That you're doing a good thing, girlfriend.
Love that.
Well, so, thank you.
In one of our past episodes, episode 62, Boundaries and You Reinforcing Self-Worth for some of our new listeners here. We discussed the importance of setting and enforcing boundaries, essentially essentially saying that boundaries are self-care, right? And so you spoke about how you've had to create boundaries between yourself and your mother. And we just want to know, like, how do you do that without feeling guilty? Because it can be tough. It's like, okay, I love you. I want you to know that I love you. But unfortunately, some of your ways are a little unhealthy.
Right.
So, how can we set those boundaries without necessarily feeling guilty or doing a complete cutoff? Because we're quick to do that. Yes. Like, I'm cutting you off. That's it. We're done.
Fuck out of here. Yeah, we're quick to do that.
I know, me too, though. I mean, I felt guilty just last week, you know? I think that primarily this is the way I see it. It's life or death for me. I can only speak for myself. I am an extremely sensitive person. I can feel energies around, and I'm extremely sensitive. I have work to do on this earth. Like, I did not come here to make everybody else happy. I didn't come here to make you feel okay about your life and what I'm doing. Like, if I focus on all of that, I literally feel like I disrespect divinity, the God within me, who gave me all these talents, who gave me this opportunity to be here. Like, my job is to live my absolute best life, is to move forward with, like, as close in alignment with what my soul has created for me. Like, that's my job. So for me, creating boundaries is allowing me to do my job. I am not obliged to subject myself to people who distract me from my purpose on this earth, who make me feel bad about who I am. Nobody wins. Nobody wins when I do that. If Curvy Curly Conscious didn't exist because I was scared about growing my siblings, like, how do people win from that? Yeah. Nobody wins. And in terms of feeling guilty, that's okay. Feel guilty sometimes. That's cool.
You're like that's okay.
I'm not going to lie to you and be like, I don't feel guilty. I do sometimes. However, you can't change anything through fear. You can't change family patterns through fear. You can't create something new through fear. You don't transform. You don't shift. You don't do anything through fear. Powerful. You can through love, though. So if you can't let the fear move you of, like, what if they don't accept me? What if they don't like my decisions? What if, and they might. So move forward. Like, what's the most important thing? The love that you have for yourself primarily. Mm-hmm. And you love those people as well, but they're not the first love. Everybody is here to take care of themselves. And I know it sounds selfish a lot, but I don't care. To me, like, if no one is being selfish about you, who is being selfish? Like, who's going to take care of you? Who's living your life? So yeah. For me, it's like the love you have for yourself, the love for how you have for, like, what you believe you deserve, the type of life you deserve, that to me is in the front seat. The fear and the guilt is in the back seat.
There you go. So that means you got to prioritize thyself. Just like RuPaul said, I'm saying seriously, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to expect somebody to love you? I mean, come on. It's easy.
Facts.
You have to tap in. So first love is the love of self, and then you can worry about everybody else. So you shouldn't be feeling guilty. So since we're on this self-care thing, because now we done bridged on over into some self-care, honey. We know that, like, women of color, we're getting more and more serious about our self-care practices.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're seeing more spaces, more resources becoming available, like, you know, the retreats, like Curvy Curly Conscious, like this podcast, hey. And, you know, it's just things that remind us to engage in activities and do things that make us feel good. But there's some girlfriends out there who might not understand the importance or the value of self-care, or maybe they don't even know how to tap in. So not that you're the self-care guru. I know you don't like that word, but how do you, like, hone the skill or the practice of self-care?
Okay. So I think it's so funny. I did an ad for this app once called Selfish Babes, and they did promotions on, like, Shade Room and Baller Alert a few times. Mm-hmm. So I a few times saw, like, some of the comments, cause I usually don't, like, read comments there. It's so toxic. And people was like, oh, really? Like, imagine the fact that I need an app to teach me how to love myself. Child, boom, Jesus do the same thing. Open a Bible, sis. All of this, right? And I think it's so hilarious. And an example that I can give is right now off the heels of the Surviving R. Kelly docuseries. Oh. Look around and just think to yourself of how many women are, like, capping for R. Kelly right now. Man. How many women are supporting him against their own best self-interest.
Come on.
Women who have daughters who could be victims, women who themselves could be victims, right? Like, the fact that it just shows me that it's so funny that this thing that self-love, it's so funny for me. I'm sorry. I just can't stop thinking about it because I'm like, wow, like, you don't even know how much self-hate you have within you.
Man.
You don't even know how much you don't value yourself. And it's clear. And I wouldn't argue with nobody about that because it is, to me, I'm like, you believe your thing, I got mine. But people around, especially women of color, again, suffer from critically low self-esteem. Yeah. And they even suffer from self-hate sometimes. And they have internalized the hate that they've received from society, and they act it out on themselves and others. So when it comes to self-care and self-love, it feels like, oh, take a bubble bath, oh, blah, blah, blah. Yes, okay. And it is really radically loving yourself, radically. Like, when I say radical, like, remember how, like, Black Panthers was radical? Like, yeah. Black radicalism, meaning it was so far outside the norm that people were like, they're crazy. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, what are they talking about? So it's like loving yourself in a radical way. Bubble bath is not radical. You know what I'm saying? So it starts from there. But in terms of self-care, I think it is really like not fucking niggas who don't respect you. Keeping your bank account at a certain level, right? Like being financially responsible. Mm-hmm. Stop eating Popeyes. I know nobody want to hear this because, bitch, I don't like Popeyes, but I do eat fried chicken. But, like, I know people don't want to hear this because these are things I like. I like fucking fuckboys sometimes. Like, you know, okay, it's fun, great. But then, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about radical again here. So, anyway. What the hell was the question? What was the
question? You were touching on it. You're telling us, how do you hone self-care?
Oh, that's how, yeah.
Come on. It's not all about these. That kills me on social media where it's like masking my face, self-care. Little shit like, yeah, you know, we're taking care of the outside stuff. We're masking. We're using these Lush products and all of this natural shit. We get that. But it's really deeper than that. You know, it's like self-work and self-worth are self-care. You know, like you really got to tap in.
You know what? That's it. That's the word you just said, work.
Yes.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to like move forward with that. I'm not even going to say like the buzzword is self-care. It's really self-work.
It is.
Because that's like anything that you care about, you work for. Like if somebody was like, you know, what do you define as being a good mother? You'd have been like, well, I taught. Sorry. Wait, did you hear? Did that get cut off?
You got cut off, boo. Run that back. Off. Run that back.
Sorry. The friend came called. Okay, so anyway, anything, I wanted to grow a business. Okay, well, it would require hours. I sat at the computer. I designed this, boom, boom, boom. And so with Black women and women of color, typically that I encounter, the work on ourselves is like considered frivolous. It's more like, let me work for everyone else and make sure my kids are good and make sure my partner is good. And even we work for our business or we work for a company, but ourselves, it's like, well, what? That's a waste of time. I got work to do, you know?
Yes.
And so, yeah, in terms of prioritizing it, I would say it's the work. It's be willing to put work in. It's just a lifelong thing. I know. That's not what people want to hear in our society. Like, sometimes I struggle with that, like a 21-day program, a 10-day program, this. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that, though. Like, this type of self-work is a lifelong commitment. But I think in the best way, because you realize there's always another level of freedom. And that's what I think it is. It's about freedom. I'm always freeing myself from, do I care about that judgment? Freeing myself from beliefs that don't serve me. Freeing myself from people that hold me back. And it gets better and better. But you have to do the work.
Yeah, it's really a self-mastery thing. Like, even if we eliminate the self-care, self-care is like a part of our self-mastery, you know, like really deciding.
It's the surface level element of it.
Yeah, it's really deciding who we are, what we stand for, how we're going to move forward, and what's important to us. And I think a theme for myself has been like liberation this year, and really like freeing myself from thoughts and beliefs that don't serve me, and pushing past those things and really deciding, hey, do I like that because I like it, or do I like it because something or someone told me that I like it? You know, like, especially with images and things from the internet and shit like that.
Yes.
Like, so I just feel like it's really about self-mastery and deciding like I know what I like deep down. I know what serves me and I know what's important to me. So yeah, that's really interesting.
I love that.
Yes, girlfriend.
Work is
liberation.
Come on, that's my word, child. Tap in.
That's a good word. That's a good word. I'm like, ooh.
Yes.
That's a nice mantra word for the year. Yes.
I'm telling you, I'm liberated.
The moment I heard you say liberation, I said, oh, you own the something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
In her badge for 2019. Okay.
You know, got it, flipped it, tumbled it. Yes. You know.
You did that. Mm-hmm. So.
Jesus, she flipped it.
A part of my personal work with self-care has really been action focused as well, moving past the
yes.
And
you too are in your bag.
I have it in
my yes.
I filled the bag up when that once that R. Kelly documentary I watched the first day and I was like, I need a little break.
Yeah.
I need a break. I may visit it, but I need a break because the combination of what the fuck has occurred and the conversations on the internet and the ignorance.
Yeah,
it's driving me up a wall, so I have to take
yes.
a back. Uh-huh. I'm gonna tap back in, but
no
self-care.
Yeah,
self-care. But in addition to that, something that really helped me with my self-care was your meditation mix.
Come on, bring it back around. I love.
Yes.
Yay. Let's release another one.
Yeah. Oh yes, we're here for
here for it. I'm the type of person, it's hard for me to sit my ass down mm-hmm. and really focus, tap into my inner voice, or let's say quiet the inner voice and really get to the core of an issue, a problem, or even just myself. But when I tell you, your meditation mixtape really brought a new light, shined a new light on meditation for me. I mean, the voice, a voice that sounds like my own.
Yeah.
The four-part breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love that. So, if you don't know what the benefits of meditation are, girlfriend, where have you been? But you can reduce your stress. It helps control your anxiety, enhances some self-awareness, allows you to assist with like recognizing your emotional health. So Sheila, we just raved about your damn meditation mixtape like it was our own. So give the girls an update or let them know why you got into meditation or what led you into starting a meditation process or practice.
Process works too. Okay. But yeah, I love practice because practice really implies something you do over and over again and you get better and better at. Mm-hmm. And that's what I meant about the lifelong thing. So how did I get into meditation? I was, like I said, working and living as an actress and a teaching artist in New York City. And I was in an abusive situation. And that day happened, as I mentioned before. He called me a bitch, and he called me a bitch. It was like probably that's not like the biggest deal ever. Like, I don't know. I guess you would say, why is that like a life, like an epiphany moment? But it was just he called me a bitch in front of people that I cared about.
Oh, no.
And I felt so humiliated. And I realized that the last time anyone had called me a bitch in a way that made me feel humiliated in front of people that I loved was my mom. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my gosh, okay. I didn't get it. I didn't heal this shit. I'm like, oh, okay. So it was like a light bulb went off and I just was like, I just jumped off of a ledge. I just was like, surrender, so committed to, I am ready to let go of all of these things that no longer serve me because I'm not willing to keep repeating these dynamics in my life. Mm-hmm. I had been able to see that this man who was also hurt, you know, and suffering in his own right, he wasn't real in that moment. He was a metaphor or a hologram of my deepest fears and my beliefs that needed to be healed. And he was doing me, and I always call him my angel because he did me a huge favor because he served as the hologram in the mirror for me, which was not, I imagine, a pleasant thing for him to do. And so he served for as that hologram for me so that I could see it projected at me so that I could heal it. And so with that, I was looking for tools. I started yoga, and my favorite part of yoga was Shavasana, meditation. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just stuck. It just stuck. I was so enamored by how you could go into this other space. I was like, wait a minute, whoa, what? I don't have to be here? And I suffered from severe anxiety and depression my whole life, and it was really the one thing that helped. Obviously, I did a lot of therapy, and talk therapy is very important. I saw healers, psychics, everything. I've done it all. But meditation was like me getting close with myself. And I just started listening to guided meditations on YouTube. I would read different books about meditation, and that from there just grew.
Damn. You know, when you mentioned that he's your angel, girl, I could tell you've grown way past where I am, because once the bitch flew out, we would have been ready to box. And I don't want to say that, but you know, that's our, I'm working on me.
No, it's so weird too, because I felt like at that moment, I had an out-of-body experience. Girl. Because I wasn't hurt or anything. Like, it was so weird. Like, I was just like so happy, and I know he was mad because I had a smile on my face. It was just so weird. Because in my mind, it just heard, this will never happen to me again. Mm.
Girl. That's probably why you were smiling, like, so something better out here.
And that's exactly what I said. It's never, I was like, it don't matter what, I'm going to do whatever. We never going to be here again.
Yeah. Shit. And you know what I find amazing? Like, despite your childhood and what happened or what didn't happen, the way that you show up in ACES children's lives as
I love them smushies.
As far as we can see on social media, of course, but the way that you love their children, love his children, it's just so beautiful. I mean, on social media, a lot of the times we see baby mama drama or messiness play out.
The back and forth.
But
oh no, we're not doing that.
How did you learn to love and nurture children that aren't your own?
Okay. Well, I'm like, well, how do I answer this? Because I'm like, there's so many things I want to say, but I feel like, again, remember that I said earlier, I remember seeing toxicity all around me as a child and not knowing how, but knowing that I wanted to create something different. So it would go against who I am at the core to not treat his children well. It's who I am. I've always been a caretaker of other people's children. Ironically, I also had an amazing stepmother. So I'm not, like, blended families is not something that's foreign to me. But, I mean, I was a nanny my whole life. I started out as a babysitter. Then I became a live-in nanny. You know, then I worked in child development centers. So, like, caring and finding a fondness and loving and getting to know people's children that are not mine is not foreign to me at all. Mm-hmm. I have done it my whole life. So when it comes to ACE, I firmly believe that if you are dating someone on a romantic level and you truly love them and they have children, the love you have for them extends to their children. If ACE values it, I value it. If ACE treasures it, I treasure it. If it's important to him, it's important to me. Mm-hmm. His children, I love them. This not the same way I love him because it's a romantic love. Right. But to me, it's an absolute, like, I know it sounds crazy, but it's an absolute honor for me to be a part of their lives.
Damn sweet.
Because man, let me tell you, them kids are dope, bro. Like, some people could have... some people could have, like, asshole kids. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen it. Yeah. Or kids is disrespectful. We fly so much with them to bring them back and forth. Never have. No, everybody give them compliments everywhere we go. They're funny. They're creative. They're artistic. So to me, loving, when someone asks me, like, how do you love kids? How do I love them? Like, that's not even a question. That's never been anything I've had to think about. Now, there's been a lot of other things I had to think about, right? Like, right. You have to deal with egos. You have to deal with adults. You have to navigate social media. You have to da-da-da-da. I mean, the list can go on. It's obvious a lot of things that I can't bring up because it's not my story. It involves other people. Right. But I will say this. It's been the hardest thing I've ever had to do, 100%.
Oh,
100%. Oh, my God. Oh, girl. My God.
Girl,
yes.
Oh, my God solidifies it for me. Because, you know, you kids, ain't even got it. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of what keeps women, especially like young women who are transitioning, like that 25 to 35, like, year old space where mm-hmm. a lot of the men that you encounter likely might have kids.
Yeah.
Especially even if you are someone who doesn't have kids. So you're put in these positions where you might
be
a little somebody. You might think they're attractive. You guys vibe it. And then the nigga shares he has kids. Right. And it's like, oh, you know, now I'm deterred because I probably got to deal with your baby mama or some shit. It ain't even about the
baby.
Yeah.
It's about all the other
stuff.
The package. Because people don't know how to be a mature and adult. So I'm sure, you know, that things are tough. It's not even just your situation, but other women who might be dealing with it. Cause that's a lot of times what, if I, when I was like on my own, you know, on my own, I was thinking about, you know, like, hey, don't want you.
Yeah,
you got
we'll be quick to say, I don't want, but you may be blocking a blessing.
You might, you might.
Yeah, that's really a good point. I think that Ace and I having to do so much to do, there was so much to navigate with the situation. It, like, to me, again, man, it all depends on your perspective and how you look at it. And at some point, I'm not gonna lie, was not in the beginning, it took a while. At some point, I decided that this was going to make me better, that I'm gonna use this to my advantage. And me and Ace decided that. And like, having to navigate this situation has made me and Ace so much closer. We've had to deal with very serious things. Like, to me and Ace have had like a, like, I don't know, I think it's like you're building a house, and you don't just throw a house on concrete, like sand and or whatever. Like, it takes you a long time. You have to make the foundation is right and all this other stuff. And like, this situation has asked us to get close to very serious topics.
Yeah,
very serious things. Be very transparent about, like, see each other on another level. We've had to stick together. So to me, I just think it's made Ace and I closer as a couple. But then also, it's been a cool experience for me because I don't have children yet. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like training wheels for me and Ace as a unit. Yes. And, you know, we decide on, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, they did, you know, like, okay, then the toys got to come out the room. And we do it together. And so I just think that it's made us better. We're going to be better parents. I'm going to be a better mother. I know more. You know what I mean? And we're going to be so grateful because it's been so hard.
Yeah.
I can't, like, you know, we're just going to be like, so happy. Yay. You know, this is our thing.
A little peace.
Yeah.
So do you have any advice for anyone who might be dealing with a similar familiar or blended family dynamic? Like, what do you feel like, okay, out of everything you got to do, this, girl, and then Godspeed.
Okay. I'm like thinking, what is the thing they have to do?
What's like the, of course, you know, there's a recipe for everyone who's different, but what are like some key ingredients? Like, it's like, make
okay.
It's like, yeah, making Kool-Aid, you know, like, you need the packet of the Kool-Aid, you need water. How much sugar, if you want to put lemon slices or all that shit, depends on.
Got
you.
It. Right.
You know?
All right. Well, the number one thing you cannot do without, like the Kool-Aid packet itself, like you can't make the Kool-Aid without that, is your partner has to be your ally, bro. Yeah. Has to.
Okay.
Like, if your partner don't fucking stand up for you and say, yo, chill fam, we not doing that.
Yeah.
Or if your partner don't say, I'm sorry, hi, can you respect? Like, if your partner doesn't be that pillar for you, like, then it's almost like how kids can see parents have like a separate and divide type of energy and they'll just come in the middle. So there's that, like, that has to be the foundation, is that you two are a unit already. Like, that other thing, because if you're not, then all of this added stuff can really come in between you. The other thing you have to have is, like, you have to really check your ego.
Yeah.
So much check your ego. Oh my gosh. Because children, a lot of times, and the family unit brings up a lot of ego, which is about ownership. My children, they're mine. It's, I'm going to do it this and that, but da da da. Well, wait a minute. I'm the woman in the house, so what's that?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you really, really have to check your ego, because if you let your ego run the show, you'll be fighting an invisible battle that nobody ever wins. You'll just be fighting and there's nothing to win. It's not,
it's
a
like
battle.
Yeah.
It's a hello.
The box
exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
And
the
last piece of advice is, hopefully the kids don't come around with the "you not my" insert here, because, you know, I was one of those kids that "you not my daddy" spiel.
Just
difficult. You know, that'll cut a nigga.
You know what? They might at some point when they're teenagers or they get a little older, they might. You know what I mean? And we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there, and they'll be right. They'll be right.
That's
I'm not their mom, and I never will try to be. And that's what I was to say, as a woman in this place, I think that's the main thing you can do, is don't ever try to replace the mom or eclipse the mom. Like, that, kids have a loyalty to their mother.
Yeah.
Period.
Yes.
And even if they don't get it now, they're going to resent you later for doing that. So it's like, you know, for me, it's always like making sure if they want to talk about mommy, if they want, like, you know what I mean? Just making sure that they know that that's not what I'm trying to be. Like, we two different things. It's, right. You know, it's like a tribe, you know, a village.
Yeah, y'all a whole little like you said,
tribe.
Exactly, tribe us.
I love that. Sheila, you're so inspirational.
You are.
That's so funny when people are saying that. I'm like, wow, okay.
No, like, you know, we graciously accept your compliments because we're giving it to you from a good place. Yeah. And
okay, yes, ma'am.
So transparent and vulnerable, and you allow yourself and people like us, you know, to peel back your layers so that other people can relate to you. Like, that shit means so much. You never really know who you're inspiring or, you know, who you're just pushing along. Somebody could be like, I can't deal with this nigga, his fucking kids. And then you say that and it shifts their whole perspective.
Yes,
you know,
they like, get rid of the ego.
Yeah.
This little. Well, that would be amazing if that happened.
I'm sure it's happening. You'll watch. They're going to be like, girl, that episode helped me.
Yeah.
Me, and I'm not even in a situation, but I'm like, let me encounter.
Yeah.
If it helps you guys, please let me know at the Sheila Marie on Instagram. I want to hear.
Yes.
Let her know. So, girlfriends and Sheila, it's time to pick up your pen. We're dropping a gem. So, Sheila, this is our time in the show where we want you to let our girlfriends know what's going on, what gem you want to share. Take it away.
All right. Well, I would like to share a little bit about what we have coming up for 2019. This year, we have so many exciting things in store. I really want to highlight our Unruly Retreat, which is going to be in August. Yes, we have not released the details of the location yet, but I know it will sell out. Our last retreat sold out 3 times in 72 hours. So we're keeping it. Yeah, we're not growing as big as we could because we want to maintain the integrity of the event and our ability to interact and connect with everybody. So I'm just saying it's going to sell out ASAP. So if you want to stay updated with that, you can go to curvycurlyconscious.com and join our mailing list. That is the best thing you could do because we also have so many things coming up, but definitely I wanted to highlight the retreat. And then stay updated on my socials just because I have a lot of things coming up too. Some things are too premature to say right now, but just know I got you online. I got you in person. It's lit. Everything we're doing this year is focused on action, which is, I love, you said that earlier.
Come on, alignment.
Yes, right? That's what I was like. Everything we're doing is focused on how to take this fun, loving, ethereal space for meditation and actually make it into your three-dimensional reality. So go to curvycurlyconscious.com, join the mailing list, and stay updated.
Love that.
That was a gem.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Right. Gem. Okay, so now we're going to transition into our girlfriend gag segment. Now, usually we have listener questions that we respond to during this portion of the episode, but today we're going to do a little twist, and we're going to ask Sheila a few random questions, and we'll see your response.
Yes.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yes, a little fun. So, the first question, what's your favorite act of self-care or wellness?
Meditation.
Beautiful. You know what? Now that you said meditation again, quick sidebar, do you have any quick tips for someone who might be struggling with meditation? If they're just like, hey, this ain't for me.
Number one, join the mailing list because I have something exactly for you that is will help it. But the second thing I could say, yes. I would say start with guided meditations. Spotify has great playlists. YouTube has great playlists. A lot of people are using an app called Headspace or Insight. Headspace. Yeah. I would say don't try to just start by silent meditation if it's hard up front. Do guided meditations, or I started out by doing this cool thing, candle meditation. So I would only put a timer for 5 minutes. I would start small. And then I would light a candle and put it kind of like, not all the way across the room, but like maybe 12 feet away from me. And you just try to maintain a soft stare, not a hard one, at a candle for 5 minutes. That's it. Start simple.
I like that.
Love those tips.
Doing that shit tonight. Okay. So here's another question. What accomplishment are you most proud of?
My personal development, really. Oh. The work that I've done on myself, I'm very proud of that.
Beautiful. The self-mastery vibe.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we know you have a ton of these because we've seen you drop them. But what's your favorite quote or book?
Ooh. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are.
Ooh.
Yes. Come on.
I can't remember the, I know I can see it. A-N-A-I-S. I think I can see it in my mind, but I don't know how to pronounce it. But that is my favorite quote, is we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. And, oh, I love so many books, but I'm going to go with Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping. That book changed the way I looked at everything.
Okay.
Love that.
Get in a copy.
Radical,
I'm doing all
the
this.
Word, radical. If you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Radically. Hello. Hello.
Okay. So what's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh my God. Don't take anything personal. Like, yeah, my healer says it. And Don Miguel Ruiz says it in the Four Agreements. Yeah. But every time, like, if I come to her and I have a sob story, she's always like, okay, let me have my feelings, but then, like, all right, you're making it about you. Like, she doesn't let me have a pity party. Mm-hmm. And so I love that, that just don't, if you can really try not to take things personally and look at everything and be like, how it's not about you, like, don't make your ego, don't make yourself the center of it. Like, this is probably not really about you at all, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's more about this person. So that's good advice to me. Don't take shit personal.
Love it.
Yep, love that. Okay, so what advice would you give your 21-year-old self, young pup?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm like, where was I at 21?
I'm thinking, too. Like, what would I tell myself? Girl.
I would tell myself he definitely has a girlfriend. Like, he's so lying to you. Stop that. You know better. Yeah, and I would tell myself, like, you're doing good. You're doing a great job. And you really know your worth. You gotta know your worth. You deserve so much. Like, it is okay to like, know what you deserve. Because I feel like at that point, like, I was scared to want anything. Damn. So, yeah. I was just telling
myself.
That's
good advice. No, all right, girl. Buckle up. Get your panties strapped. This is the final one. You can only have one of these for a year. What are we doing? Ooh. Coffee or alcohol?
What?
I knew you were going to say that.
What kind of decision is this? Buy coffee. That's cool.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Yeah, I love coffee, but come on now. That's not happening. This is why I'm not exactly elevated as I could be yet, okay?
Right.
That's okay, because we're all multidimensional.
And
we
meditate,
hello?
And we still turn it up.
Right.
Simple.
Exactly.
Balance. Balance.
You know what's just a little sidebar that I've seen you talking about this, that, like, there's a balance between health and wellness and, like, doing what the fuck you like. Like, nigga, I like, I like acrylic nails. Like, I like some cruel, not some, some mascara that might not be vegan, cruelty free. Like, let me do what the fuck I want to do, and I'm gonna tap back in later.
Yeah,
because I just feel like if you can't come from a place of acceptance that this is where I am now, you can't really grow. And I'm like, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, I'm not there yet. Like, right. I should probably be eating raw vegan. I'm not there yet. I know that's the best way to eat. I'm not there.
That happens. You're not there yet. That's a good one. I knew that was going to be a good thing.
Yeah, love that. I'm for sure going with alcohol. Because you know what? You can drink.
Yeah.
Boom. And they got some tea now that tastes like coffee low-key, so we could just do that.
Yeah. Seriously.
Okay, well, Sheila, this conversation was amazing.
Amazing.
Just like we knew it would be, because you're amazing.
You guys are so positive.
Thank you.
I love it.
As we wrap up, can you let our listeners know where they can find you? Because I know they're itching to know now. If they didn't already know, if they've been under a rock, they're like, where can we find this girl?
Yeah.
So let them know.
Well, the place I'm most active is Instagram, for sure. And that is at the Sheila Marie. And it's theshelahmarie. You can also find my website, which is the same name, SheilaMarie.com. My company is Curvy Curly Conscious. com and at Curvy Curly Conscious on IG. That is the best place to find me.
I love that. Sheila, thank you so much for creating a space for women of color where we can feel like we belong, where we feel like we can level up and take on this bullshit that's in the world.
Yes.
Girl, because you know it's tough out here for a sister.
It is. It's hard out here for a pimp.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We love it.
It's the least I can do. Thank you so much. I had such a good time talking to y'all.
Yes, girl, you know we did. You're our girl.
And all of Sheila's information will be down in the show notes. So, you know, if your pen started slipping out of your hand, don't fret. We have all of this down in the show notes. Click the link. Hit our girl up. Let us know how you like the episode per the usual.
Right.
And we're going to end this here, y'all. Okay? So we'll chat.
Bye. Soon. Bye. Love you.